And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 151.
151.
In the 151. It sounds like an area code.
Right.
Hey, I'm Silas Lindenstein.
I'm Samantha Rund.
And we are your hosts for Black and a Half, the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. And today's episode is one of our Black and a Half reviews episodes, sort of. We chat a little about non-review stuff, but then we talk about two different movie reviews, mostly one, Malcolm and Marie, that came out on Netflix just a short bit ago, and we talk about The Map. I talk a little bit about a film I saw by myself, The Map of Tiny Perfect Things. So those are the two films covered in this episode, just a little bit on the second one. Mostly we talk about that because I was excited about the film. It stars two black actors that I really like, and it was a black and white film on Netflix. I was surprised by it. I texted Samantha, said, watch this so we can talk about it.
It's true.
I get to talk about acting, and I like talking about acting. So,
and then I did watch it, so we could talk about
not
it.
Not too heavy of spoilers. We talk about some of the issues brought about it. It's not very heavy. There's a lot to the film, so you won't get too much spoiled by it. But if you want to join in on the conversation, you can always watch the film first and then listen to the episode, or just hear what we talked about. It's a lot of craft stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I like the craft.
Yes.
And I don't mean the mac and cheese.
Although it ties in.
I do like the mac and cheese.
It ties in.
Is you
the mac and cheese? The mac and cheese ties into the episode.
Do you watch the movie? Do you eat boxed mac and cheese?
I do, but I often it will be Annie's mac and cheese. I don't like Kraft mac and cheese.
Yeah.
I'll eat it if I have to, but it tastes very fake.
I grew up on the dollar kind, you know, the super generic boxed kind. So for me, getting Kraft was like a sign I had made it and getting fancy. Now my kids are just snobs and look down on Kraft and will get the Annie's. They want the Annie's.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, like I'm not really being a snob about it. It just tastes fake. I just don't enjoy the Kraft.
That's snobby.
Well,
of course it tastes fake. It's powdered cheese.
Yeah, but
it's all gonna be fake.
And anyway,
mac and cheese comes up into it.
This episode, though, we do have like I'd say we have a especially good back and forth of some difference of opinions, and I plead for your comments because I'd like to know which one of us gets more votes. It makes it fun. It makes it interesting. And I hear I may be getting an extra $20 per comment. That's not true at all. That's a later reference for you guys,
I guess. Extra. hey, big thanks to our Patreon supporters. Thank you for supporting this show. Appreciate it. Especially our Inner Circle members, Tara Widener, Keith Nagel, Stefan Ward. Thank you for being a supporter. If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/blackandahalf. And for as little as $1 a month, you can become a member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners and enjoy the show. You can also support the show by going to Apple Podcast and leaving a 5-star review and comment and actually leave a review. Say like who you like better. Say who wins the arguments. Just say that, or mention something you liked about the show you just heard. You could say that. Anything.
That would be really awesome. Care. You could even let us know that we're helping to keep you more sane and connected during quarantine. You know,
you could leave a recipe. I don't care. It still shows up high in the comments.
Recipe. I'm intrigued now.
It'd be funny. Leave a recipe.
I'm intrigued what the recipe would be and who it would be for. Yeah.
Try this, you disgusting pig, Silas. That's where it'd be for. And of course, you could also share the podcast with your friends and family, and that's just all wonderful.
Yes, it is.
Today's episode is brought to you by one of the sponsors is one of our sister podcasts. It's a podcast I host. It's called "You're Buying a Home" with Silas Lindenstein. It's a It's a podcast that teaches you wherever you live in the United States and even Canada, what it's like to how to go about the process of buying a home, especially geared toward first time home buyers. So if that's something you foresee in your life, or maybe just wonder if it's possible, go to yourbuyingahome.com and check out that podcast. And of course, if you're in the Seattle, Washington area, Pacific Northwest, you can email me if you want to buy or sell a home at silas@blackandahalf.com or silas@silasgetsreal.com or silasgetsreal@gmail. I have a lot of emails. They all come to my same damn phone.
Hey.
But somebody's going to get a hold of me somehow.
That's right.
Hopefully. It's also, today's episode is also brought to you by
Beyond Technique with Samantha Run. That's the podcast. And that one, we're going to talk more about the ways that performance and performance techniques can enhance our lives, whether we're performers or non-performers. It can also be used for personal development. Most recently, I got to interview a career coach, actor career coach, Jenna Doolittle, who's recently featured in the New York Times. So I definitely want to check out that episode. Ooh. Really fun. Yeah, she's really great. And then also, of course, if you're looking for a coach to help you with performance skills and communication skills so that you can, use more of your whole self and voice, body, and mind to be more present in your life and work on or off the stage, I'm always more than happy to help. Please reach me at beyondtechniquecoaching@gmail.com.
Nice. And that's those podcasts, and listen to those, enjoy those. But here we're ready for this podcast, Black and a Half, your smooth hit.
Yes.
For all the smooth hits, smooth, and hot jazz.
Right.
For low talk and
smooth craft.
For the smooth craft talk about some smooth craft action. No, please. stay tuned, listen to us, open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 151, Malcolm and Marie and the Map of Tiny Perfect Things.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Physically, I brought my blanket too, just to try to be as like on camera ready as possible.
I forgot to heat up the space before I came out, so
oh no,
chilly. Luckily, I have a double
maybe
shirt on.
You need a blanket too.
On. Yeah, I could just. I have a mound of old show shirts that I didn't sell. I could just climb into a pile of those. I don't know what I got to do something with those.
What are those show shirts? Were they like the comedy shows you would produce, or comedy like theater shows?
These ones are comedy shows. Let's see. This one was way too. I said, because I had a joke about the using the right tense of your. So one says,
I see.
You're not possessive. Your shirt.
Yeah.
Is, and it's like, it's way too like heady. Like you have to like, but I sold them. I sold enough. So that's all I care about. I think that's the only ones I have out right now here. I don't know why I was just trying to think of, you gotta, when you're on the road, you're going on the road. If you're doing if you're a feature act.
Right, right.
Like, you gotta come up with some merch. Need some merch so you can make some money.
That's right.
Do the dance, because you're gonna make more money on merch than you went from the show. And that's sad. But now I had the, In the Future, We're All Brown.
Mm-hmm.
That one sold well. That was good.
Yeah.
But then someone, I'm blanking on his name. Oh, there's a Dustin, not Diamond, but Dustin Hempstead. Yeah, he gave me the idea for the shirt that was just an asterisk, and it said your.
Oh.
When you correct somebody, that was my thing on it. So it was like, that was great, and that sold well, I think. I need to, that'd be a good mug. I should do that.
Yeah.
Y'all want the mug? Would you buy the mug? Yeah, everyone loves mugs. I always have this idea for a business. Don't steal it, anybody listening. But like at Christmas time, one of the kiosks, just to be an all mug kiosk.
Yeah.
Right. And then like you can have stuff that you can drop in it, like a little bag of M&Ms or bag of peanut crunch, whatever, like something else. So because, you know what, to make it a gift, you got to have a couple things in it, like as an all, like, so it's not just a mug, like you're getting a whole, like you can upgrade, you could just buy the mug, or you can upgrade it to like a little gift basket, and so be like that with some candy, and then maybe something else, and it'd be a whole thing. Because a mug is an ultimate gift.
It's a good gift. I like mugs.
Yeah, because like you can personalize it so much. You can get it as a souvenir to somebody. And somebody's like, you know, you see like, oh, it's a cat. They love cats. I can get them a cat mug. Oh, perfect. Oh, it says mom. They're a mom. They're going to love it. They're such easy to sell, but sometimes the prices people get mad at. I used to sell them online and it'd be like $15 with shipping. People were fine with a $10 mug, but they didn't like the $15 mug, which is what it costs to ship.
Right.
Like when you had $6 in for shipping. And I'm like, it's not my fault you're ordering one. It's like only costs another dollar to order two. But what am I going to do? I can't. Like, that's how much it costs to ship.
Yeah.
So they'd be like, Amazon gives it for free. It was like, Amazon is destroying small businesses. Why are we going to attack me, small business, for trying to survive? But now I'm beyond that. And now I, you know, want to buy Amazon stock, so please shop there instead.
Right.
They need
Speaking
money.
Of Beyond, reminded me of Beyond Meat, which reminded Beyond me Meat? Beyond Meat, you know?
The company?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but that just reminded me of that KFC is going to, I read that they're going to start.
Shut up, really?
Using or testing out.
Beyond Chicken?
Like 3D printing their chicken.
3D printed chicken.
Yeah, I think it's with a chicken and vegetable combo or molecules or something like that. It was wild.
Wait, but would it be actual chicken then? Like clone chicken?
Well, it's 3D printed. I mean, if it's 3D printed, what on earth?
I don't know what it could be.
All I know is I don't want to eat it. I don't want it to come to that. I don't want it to come to that. Right?
What? You don't want to come to what?
I don't want it to come to having to eat 3D printed food. Like,
I don't know if it's about coming to that point as much as it is just accepting that that's the future of meat.
I think that is what coming to it means, is that you have no other choice. It's come to that. I would rather eat bugs first.
Fun fact, pill bugs.
Oh, natural.
Pill bugs? Do you know what pill bug is?
No.
You know what a roly-poly? Roly-poly bug?
Okay, not all bugs maybe, but...
Do you know what a roly-poly is? I know you're not from Seattle, so I didn't know if you know.
Yeah, I mean, they're little, right?
Yeah, and they like roll up like a little, little shell, like a little... I just found out recently, they are not bugs. They are not insects.
What are they?
They're crustaceans. They're actually a land crustacean, and they are mostly they have more in common with than any insect or bug with
lobster,
shrimp. Probably. Yeah, shrimp and crawfish.
Interesting.
They're closely related, and they are edible. Boom! Had no idea. It blows my mind. I mean, you'd have to eat like a thousand of them.
If bugs are edible, I would have assumed they were edible too.
Yeah, well, some bugs are poisonous. You can't just... They'll bug your stomach.
I guess so, yeah. You don't just go up into the forest sweeping up under the trees like Baloo. just.
It's like you can't eat every berry or you'll right. die.
I learned that from the Hunger Games.
Well, you're about to say I learned that the hard way.
Yeah, no. I mean, I died. No, I knew that before. We went camping when I was a child, but yeah, I can't necessarily tell them apart. I just know that if I'm in the woods, I should leave it alone.
I just eat crackers. Just bring me whatever you brought in. That's what I'll eat.
Just crackers.
And if I
yeah,
like,
the crackers grow from right attack, off the trees.
If I attack a wild boar,
I
will eat the boar. If I wrestle a boar to death, match to the death.
You would work up quite an appetite.
Yeah, and then I gotta eat my competition.
That's right. You know,
and be like, I'm gonna eat you while I can before you're a 3D composite.
That's
of yep. bacon.
Boy, oh boy. yeah, boy, oh boy, oh boy,
boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Samantha, we watched a movie.
We did watch a movie.
Not together, separately.
Right. That's right.
Because of COVID.
That's right.
I told you I really wanted to talk about this movie after I saw it.
It's true. And so I watched it for you, Silas.
And I hope you didn't watch the trailer though, did you?
I don't think I did.
Okay. So you went into a blind.
Like I prefer.
Yeah.
For movies. Yeah. Just enough to let me know that I'm interested in watching it. That's it.
Okay. The movie was Malcolm and Marie. It's on Netflix, the Netflix film. It stars Zendaya. I love that she only has one name, by the way.
What a fun name.
Zendaya and John David Washington, whom I didn't realize how much stuff he's actually been in. I mean, I guess I recognized him from Tenet. I hadn't seen it yet. Tenet.
I didn't recognize him. I don't think I recognized him.
Ballers, the TV show Ballers.
Brett, I haven't seen it.
He's on that. And so I was like, oh, I didn't know he was. Turns out he's actually Ballers. He was played a football player, right? Turns out he was really a football player. Like that wasn't like he, that's his past.
Look at that.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's directed by Sam Levinson, a white guy. It's important for the film. And that's it. It's the two. That's two actors.
Yep.
It's a two actor film. And mm-hmm. how often do you see that now?
Like not often.
Never. No. I don't even know in the past how often I would see that, because usually if it was based off of a play, mm-hmm. a two actor play, they'd throw in some scenes where they were in a crowd walking through. If you folks hear weird noises, by the way, it's not Samantha's not murdering a cat. It's just the cat's hanging out.
Yeah, it was clawing at the door. It's like, Mom, let me in. It's so attached.
I think it's commenting. It's so like precious. Silas, shut up. Or it's trying to give its opinion. I enjoyed the movie. Meow.
Right, you know, he's quite the critic.
It's a rated R film, drama, romance. The log line is, a director and his girlfriend's relationship is tested after they return home from his movie premiere and await critics' response. So essentially, so John David Washington plays this guy Malcolm, who's a director.
Mm-hmm.
I gathered sort of like a writer director,
right? Mm-hmm. Seemed like that.
And there was a movie premiere, and they went out to it and came back to his house. Him and Zendaya, who plays Marie, and. So I think the core of the film is based around the igniting thing that she's clearly mad about something, and she's making some mac and cheese right when they start. Mm-hmm. The box mac and cheese. It's wonderful.
While in a glamorous dress. Yeah,
yes. Glam dress.
Dress to the nines. Yeah.
Smoking. He did not thank her, his girlfriend, during the award ceremony, during a press.
And then we get more information later, but no spoilers.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. but that ignites this film. I messaged you during the film to see if you're going to watch it, because I was so excited halfway through this film about just the, like, the act. Like, I don't get to watch films that have this just ping pong, pinch, ouch, reaction film of two actors playing off of each other for the whole, like, the whole film. And I was blown away that you're not, there's no one else. No one else is coming into this, really? It's just you two? And I was just really excited about watching, like, an act, like, something that put acting in the forefront and writing, and there was monologues, and I loved that I don't see good monologues now. And I was just so, I was excited about this film to talk about it from an acting standpoint. And I personally enjoyed the movie. I liked... It's gotten some criticism, which we'll talk about in a bit, but I liked the dynamic, how it would change, the different speeds that it would go, the rhythms. Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it. Did you enjoy it, or was it like too toxic masculinity for you?
Well, I will tell you, Silas.
Yeah.
Let me say that most of what Silas says, I think I agree with, possibly all of it, except for the excitement he had. I did not share. No. I did also, though, I found that film, like the medium itself, was a character. Like, it was shot beautifully. It was shot in black and white. I thought it was really interesting, the imagery, the way that they shot outside of the house through the windows versus inside, and the layers of which, even the way that they use the costume to let us know when they were becoming more vulnerable and more open, and like all of the visual things that they were doing, all the other elements of the storytelling, I found really fascinating. If I had not promised to watch it so that we could talk about it on the podcast, I would not have continued watching it.
No.
I had to watch it over the course of several days.
Okay.
I really did not like them. I didn't care about them. And I felt like I couldn't connect to them. And I know part of that, I think, was done stylistically because it was such a stylized piece. But I will say that I was glad that I finished it, because the last third or fourth of the movie, maybe the last 20%, when I felt like they were being more real and more talking about what was really going on, I was like, oh, interesting. Really interesting. Especially her. Like her, I don't know that I would say that I would have said it was like toxic masculinity from him. I mean, yes, some, but it just, his character. Yeah. I mean, I guess you could have, I mean, I just would have called it something different. It was unpleasant. It was just so unpleasant, and I didn't care about them at all. But they're both fantastic actors, so it was nothing, you know, it's so not like their acting wasn't
good.
Stick
with the movie, like, you can't stick with the movie just because, wow, their performances are so good that I want to, like, see what they're going to do.
Yeah, if I care. That's the thing, if I care. Because you know what I was telling you, Frances McDormand in Kittredge, or whatever that's called, a limited series. It was not a pleasant story for me, but I was curious. I cared. I felt like the character, I felt like the character was real, and I was just going to get more information about him. And I think because of the way that this was shot through the windows, stylized like that, there was this thing where I'm watching them, but I was still removed. And then later on, when it's like I get to see more of them, no, not more of them, although you do see more of them, it and you're not separated as much from the other things. It was, you know.
Did you not get a sense early on that what they were talking about wasn't the real issue?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. But I mean, just because actors are good doesn't mean I'm going to care about the story. Like,
even to the sense of, like, I guess I feel like when I'm watching something, particularly the two characters, and I'm like, this felt like a to some degree, it's like a play to
me. It very much felt like a play to
me. So I'm like, I can't stop this. I have to do this journey right now with them and see where it's going to go. Because if I pause because it's uncomfortable or whatever, I don't know, whatever feelings I get, like I have to see where this journey is going to go. And yeah, I would agree that they weren't like necessarily likable to start but I'm like, I want to know, like they are together for a reason and I want to know why. And I
actually,
know
you know
why
what? That's the other reason. Part of it, I was just like, man, you need to leave his ass. I was just getting annoyed that she was getting talked to a certain way. But you know, the other thing of it, as I try to remember, I was like, I should write notes. So it's all fresh in my mind because it's been 2 weeks now. Man, and you know, like, I don't like talking badly about the film. So like I said, it was a quality film. It was very well done. For my taste, it was the latter part of it that I cared about. The first part of it, I felt like was a lot of talking about and not showing. And I would have personally been more connected to the characters if I saw what was going on versus hearing about things that went on when we weren't witnessing it as it was happening. Because that happened a lot. It wasn't just like, here's a monologue saying what happened, and now we're moving on to the next thing. It was like there was a lot of talking about things that we weren't there to see. And so,
yeah, I mean, I guess that's also where I feel like it's a play.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
You're stuck in one location. You can't do it.
Side note
for everybody, this was shot during quarantine. It was written and shot during quarantine, and they.
Well, that also changed my opinion of it, though. I have to say, like, knowing that it was written and shot specifically for like a sort of like quarantine safe set, for me would skyrocket its merit up like it would put it on a curve for me.
Really?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. It would put it on a curve for me. I would give it a higher grade score.
It was
overall.
I mean, that's what happened.
I mean, not knowing that, just thinking it was like just shot like a regular film was shot, I was thinking, why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that?
I would have
connected more if they did it this way. But knowing that that would have been a less safe option, I'm like, oh no, this is great. They did it this way. Awesome.
Just a way to figure out how to do work. Let's keep working.
Yeah.
There's a bit of it where the guy kind of presses on a bit about Black, a filmmaker, and is he making a statement? Why does he have to? There was a lot of talk, and then about them talking about how white people react or white people do things. Mm-hmm. They got criticized by the critics who were being criticized.
How did the film get criticized?
Like one Black woman, a Black critic was like, we don't talk like that. We don't talk and make fun of white people like that. Like they spend a lot of time talking about white people and we don't do that. Which also, I think in the same later on, she's like, Black people are not a monolith. And I was like, hold on. You can't say we're not all alike and then try to claim that everybody doesn't do that. I'm like, right. I know plenty of Black people that talk about white people like that. Or imitate them or whatever. Maybe it's just being in the comic world that's what they do. I don't know, a real world. Maybe that's why. But it got some criticism also for being making these statements and the writer was white, and though they supposedly there was some like, oh, Zendaya and Malcolm like kind of like were like helped with mm-hmm. stuff, but they weren't giving credit. They didn't get writing credit in it. So it was like, well, how much did they help? Were they, did they just mm-hmm. nod at what you said?
Right.
Like, yeah, that's fine. Zendaya seems pretty outspoken.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read the article now that she said. But did that seem preachy to you?
It did. I mean, it did. I mean, like I was saying, that's part of why I didn't connect to the, a good chunk of it was because I'm like, oh, you're talking so much. Like, I get it. Can you move on? Like, I don't care. And again, I don't want to sound like a jerk because they're wonderful actors. Bravo for doing something shot safe in quarantine. And it did take us on a journey. So I'm not saying the whole thing was bad. by any means. Just it, you know, like I said, Silas, if it weren't for you, I wouldn't have kept watching it. I felt that, I mean, but yeah, part of it though was like, the other part of it though is his character. He gets obsessive like this. This is what he thinks. This is, you know, it wasn't hard to imagine a character like that. Yeah. Especially if you know lots of people in the arts, like people, you know, can go on and on about those sorts of things because it's very, very real topics for them.
Is it trying to
make sure if did I actually answer your question?
I don't know. I'm kind of forgetting what my question was. It was more about like, I guess if those stood out or if they bothered you, I don't know, like, is there something weird? Is it weird to have these things about someone writing about how, the black reaction to critics? Is it weird that that was written by a white person?
Not necessarily, because I mean, I don't know just because he's white, like, I don't know his history. Did he have like an actual black best friend or something that has said these grievances to him? Like, is he aware that these are conversations that have happened? Is he also aware, like, has he been in rooms where he's heard white people say this about black people and then thought that's messed up, you know? So it's not necessarily weird to me.
Some people would say that it's not, even if he had been in those, that it's not his place, that it should be the place of a black writer to bring these.
You know, I just think that as long as the issues are coming forward and it's with good intentions, I mean, if the film was possible because he was attached to it, or he wrote the story, you know, it's different than if it was between him and a black director who was also qualified, and they were like, no, give it to the white guy. You know, that's true.
Totally okay. I got that. I get you.
Yeah. Cause I also think like there are some things where, I think about like the Patrick Stewart meme I saw years ago where he was like, wasn't he campaigning for like to end violence against women?
Yeah.
And like sometimes it needs to come from the other party, so to speak. Like sometimes it needs to come from, you know, the non-discriminated against party in order for it to be heard by more people.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I see your point. I'm getting like, I'm trying to figure out now, like, what, like, do I not, like, I'm psychoanalyzing myself. Like, do I not care if people are likable, like watching a film? Like, it's not even my.
Yeah, but you might not have found, like, you were interested in it. That's the thing. Like, hearing you talk about it, it sounds like your interest level was immediately different than mine was. And then how likable you found them was also different.
Part of me is like, you know, I don't think I have to find characters likable because I'm interested in the story. I want to see where it's going. Like, why was it? I'm like,
okay. You know what? Sorry. Maybe I know I cut you off, but maybe I should rephrase from saying likable to I need to care. So like you cared about the story. Well, like
I guess I didn't even know what the story was. I want to know. I know when I walk into a movie that there's probably and I've been disappointed at this at times, but I know like, okay, so this was written for a reason. We're looking at this we're going to look at an hour and a half, 2 hours of this story that feels like we need to be told, that needs to be told, this 2 hour window of these characters' lives that we're going to peek into. So there's a reason I'm here and I want to find out what it is. Even if I'm not hooked right away, this drew me in. This may have sucked me in a little more because it was two black actors doing a black and white film. And I was like, well, I'm going to watch this to support them. And then once I realized it was going to monologue and and it was just about the, like, this is a focus on the acting. I was like, I got to watch this because I don't get to watch stuff that focuses on the acting anymore. Like, oh, yeah, like, come on, bring it. Bring that acting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I just, so I think I tend to give things, I don't know.
Well, I mean, do you ever just not watch movies? Like, do you ever start a movie and then feel like, this one's not for me and move on?
I did. Well, movies, a series, more often series, because I know that's like, no, I'm not going to commit to this if this is going on. Usually if I'm a little stubborn, like if I started, I need to see why this was made.
Uh-huh.
I rarely don't finish stuff. So like that Adam Sandler one that I hated, I fucking, like, it takes a lot for me to decide I'm not going to fucking finish this.
Okay. Well, see, I do. But the other thing is I do that. Like, I do that. I will start something, and if I'm not interested by a certain amount of time, I will move on to something else.
And it's right,
like,
so
and I've done that with a few, like, series too. It could also be like, you know, the timing, like, you know, Schitt's Creek. What did I try watching it two times until the third time I finally was like, I was hooked, and then I binged it.
Oh, okay.
You know, and I just tried watching Bridgerton last night. And I just was like a couple minutes in and I'm like, I know I'm going to want to watch this, but I just can't right now.
Yeah.
So I went back to watching the series called The Sinner.
Okay.
It's a detective series. It's so good. A little bit creepy. It's very interesting.
Series now, I'm like, if I'm going to commit to watching this series, you got to be fucking bring it. You got to like, because I'm not going to keep going. And I watched this one on HBO where here's my... I don't like movies that have animals that talk. If like, it's,
you didn't like Zootopia?
Really? Zootopia?
Yeah.
If it's a cartoon, that's one thing. If it's a live action film and the animals
are you watching like Babe, Pig in the City?
No, this was, it's an HBO show where the, like the, it's based off of the series of books where I think it's called Dark. It's not Dark Energy, Dark Field, Dark something. It's about this
Dark Materials.
Dark Materials, yeah. In this world, your spirit animal like is alive and with you, and it talks to you.
I must have seen that at one of the things at some point. Yeah.
I turned to my daughter and I was like, "I don't know about you, but I can't stand movies like it's things like this." And she's like, "Yeah, I don't want to watch this."
That's funny. Yeah. I feel like that doesn't bother me so much, you know?
No. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I know it's a pet peeve and I was like, I know this sounds weird,
you know, but I talk to my pets too. So I talk to my pets and
do they talk back?
Oh yeah, they do. You know, I can't always understand what they're saying, 'cause it's usually just a bark or a meow, but it's something. Yeah. They're saying something.
It's it's like I have a pet peeve, but like, so a series has to get me now. There's too many series out there,
that
I want to watch. So, and there's like, well, some like I haven't finished because I don't want it to end. Like,
did you watch The Queen's Gambit already? Did I already ask you that?
Yes, I watched that. Yeah.
Oh, so good, wasn't it?
Yes.
Did we already talk about that?
That is a fantastic, I don't think we've talked about it that much, but that is a fantastic because that is like, that's almost a movie. That's super long, but broken into a TV chunk for the sake of storytelling. But it's, I love it that you can't really make a sequel out of it. And this is what Harry Potter should be. Every Harry Potter movie should be like that. Every Harry Potter book should be 8 hours, should be an 8-hour film. 'Cause that's the only way you're going to tell the stories from Harry Potter. 8-hour films.
I liked the films, but.
They
were longer.
It's
that would have been okay
tiny
too.
Bit of the book, right?
Well,
if you want to delve into the actual world, it should be. I've said Harry Potter films should be turned into an HBO series that every season is a book, right? And then you can fill out the whole worlds and get everything and do all the stories that are in there instead of they don't do any of the subplots really in any of the movies. So you'd be able to do the subplots and. I think it would be a very rich series. That's my pitch. Come on, Hollywood. Give it to me. Let me do it. We'll start 2030. Let's go.
That's right.
That's enough time.
That's a good reason to reread the books. was just like, oh.
I reread the books, especially rereading the books to my daughter. I was like, wow, I totally forgot this storyline.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of stuff I don't remember.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. Malcolm and Marie, I think for this, like minimal for the sake of the acting, I do recommend it to people. I would go. I go for the acting. Oh, the other controversial part was the age difference between them. A lot of people were complaining about
that. I really
don't
know how old she is.
Well, in real life, she's like 22, something like
okay.
that.
Okay. Well, I don't know how old he is.
He's late 30. Like, he's like, it's like a 12-year difference, 12, 15-year difference, which is like my wife.
Yeah, I know. So I was like, you wouldn't care.
Yeah, I obviously don't care. But she's actually, Zendaya's kind of mad about that criticism because she's like, yeah, because I've looked like I'm 15 for the since I've,
she,
since I was
she does,
13, she's looked 15.
I remember you said that. She does look young. But, you know, I guess the reason why it didn't bother me so much, or really at all, is because of the way that the storyline is.
Yeah.
It seems very believable that there would be an age difference.
Right. And I think people are like, why does there have to be an age? Why have to have a young girl in this with him? Like, well, it was hard for me to go, well, she's 19. Yeah, it's illegal, whatever. I don't know.
That's gross to me. What? I mean, that's why I'm like, it's as long as she was over 21, I wouldn't barf.
Wasn't the character? I thought the character was 19.
Oh, well, then I should have had a problem with it.
I don't think they were explicit about it. Wait, it's gross because when's it not gross? When does it not become gross?
I mean, I'm not really into a huge age difference myself.
Right.
I'm just saying that, you know, watching
love
the movie.
Good. Yeah.
Like, huh?
Like, love happens between.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, watching older. The movie, it seemed like believable for especially them being like in LA and,
yeah,
you know, that dynamic and whatnot. But I mean, if she's not even drinking age, that's just no.
Yeah, maybe. Well, just, if she was in the film, I think when they started dating, she would have been younger. Like, maybe started it when she was 19.
Oh,
it's. Mm-hmm. Look, people know me. People know I'm 11 and a half years older than Gretchen. We didn't start dating I didn't meet her till she was 24.
Yeah, but that's different. Yeah, exactly. But she's at least in her 20s.
It doesn't take that many years until suddenly it, like...
Right, but I mean, like, there's a big difference between a 19-year-old and a 24-year-old.
But like, is there a 21 and a 24-year-old? Is there much difference?
There's a difference, but I mean, it's less.
See, I will say when I started dating her, I thought she was older.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had pursued someone who was 25. And I was like, I can't do this. She's too young. Like, she's just in a different stage in life. Like, I just thought, no, it was a 24-year-old, I think. And I was like, it was just kind of clueless to me. Seemed clueless. I was like, at least 25 it has to be. So I thought Gretchen was like 27, 28, based off of just her life and the way she came across.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, confidence or whatever. Which
all those quotes, all those quotes on our walls.
Yeah. Apparently it wasn't a confidence. It was terrifiedness of it was like a shield up of being like scared of, like, just as a introvert, you know, like, but I read it as like, oh, she's confident. She was just nervous, faking text messages, like she would
nice.
Like act like she was busy texting somebody and she wasn't.
The Costanza method.
I don't think they texted in Costanza's time.
It's the just look busy, just look
just
busy.
Look busy? Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, so.
I'm teasing, though. I feel like that's a very, like, feminine defense mechanism, too. Like, what? You just look busy, so guys don't bother you. You know, you have in your earphones, but no music playing, so you could hear everything. Like, you know, you just.
Really?
I've done that. Yeah. Like,
wow.
I mean, if I was on, or especially like when I would, if I would have to take the bus or something, just look busy, have a book in your hand, have headphones on, something so that people can't really make eye contact with you. And I just always look a little bit busy and a little bit annoyed. Just don't look too friendly, you know, don't look too friendly, but make sure that you can hear.
Wow. Don't want to just meet a stranger in a bus.
Hell no.
Change your life. Could have changed it right then.
Keanu wasn't coming on my bus. It's not no speed up in here.
You would have noticed looking in the book.
Oh, I would have looked up. You could just tell. You could tell when he walks into the space.
Yeah. So, and I'll put a review up on my letterbox. Full one of my favorite things about it. Although I will say my favorite thing. So obviously, for me, it was the acting, the writing, and the stylistic choices of it. I really liked. Yeah. So that's it. That's it on that. I guess Samantha obviously doesn't recommend the film, but
I don't. I'm kind of in the gray area. I think if you're a fan of black and white movies and stylized movies, because I really appreciated the visual elements of it, and I felt like it was really using the film medium to tell the story, like in a way that we don't get to see very often these days. So I did enjoy that, those elements a lot. And then there were a few acting moments I really enjoyed.
I just thought they were lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely actors. I think she's.
Yeah, she did.
I hope she gets recognized for it.
Yeah, they did. They did a great job. I mean.
That's a funny term, getting recognized for it. Hey, you did that film. I recognize you. Then I did want to tell you about another film that I saw. Samantha didn't see it. I didn't think you would watch it anyway.
Why is that?
Oh, because I looked like because I was excited about it.
I I watch so many things that you watch.
This is a little. It was last minute that I saw it just suddenly premiered. I saw it Valentine's weekend. It was called The Map of Tiny Perfect Things. It's an Amazon original on initial release February 12th. It stars Kyle Allen and Catherine Newton, and the description of it. Oh, it's based on, it's a screenplay. It's based on a short story. Wait, where's the log line? Okay. Log line is two teens who live the same day repeatedly enable them to create their titular map. I don't know how to pronounce that. I never know how to pronounce that. Titular. Okay, but here's basically the premise of it. It opens up. It's kind of like a Groundhog Day. Like, it starts off where this guy, this kid is doing things that he seems to know what's about to happen. And you get the sense really early on that you get the Groundhog Day thing. Like, oh, this kid is repeating the same things. Oh, I know this story. He's like in a time warp, right? And he seems to be trying to get to this one girl that he helps out, and you're like, oh, okay. And he makes a reference, and then you see him do the next day real quick, and you're like, I think that happens like two or three times. And then somebody breaks, then something changes, and he realizes, we surely realize there is someone else there. There's this other girl who is also repeating the same day. And so then the story ends up being about them. So it's like the swerve away from what you originally thought it was. And so then it's obviously it's this romantic comedy kind of film. So it's going to be about them. But what I really enjoy about the film is that it does, it sets you up that you're like, oh, I'm going to see the same film that I always see, right? This is what it is. But usually when these films do this repeat thing, like it's also a Happy Death Day to You. It's not an uncommon storyline, this repeating the day, but they did I've never seen it where we started in the middle of it. Like we're already in it. Because that story has become, I don't know if it's cliche enough that like, we don't need to teach you about this. We, you know what's going on. This is this kind of thing. And it takes us on some unexpected journeys. And the lead, I mean, the lead is the guy, but I mean, Catherine is, in some ways, it's Catherine's film, even though it starts off with Kyle's character, Mark. Catherine plays Margaret, and she's a nuanced actor. Like, she really, really, really nice acting job on her part. She's, I don't know how old she actually is. They're both supposed to be teenagers, I think, like high school. There's a reference to high school in it. But it's a very cute film. So they end up with the map is that they start mapping out these perfect little moments that they find in the town that are happening, just that they can catch as they go. And so they start putting them, and they're trying, like they're trying to create this perfect day of seeing all of these moments of beauty in life that they wouldn't otherwise have caught, because they were catching them separately, and then together they talked about it and started just trying to watch these. And it's a cute film. It's a cute film. I think it's worth a view. It's not what, you know, it's great. Check it out. I liked it. I like it. I like sci-fi, and I like time. I really like time travel movies. And so any little spin on it, I like to see what happens. And so it hooked me. And the second I realized it was a time travel one, yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm watching it. Go to bed, everybody. I'm watching a movie. That happens. Mm-hmm. It happens in my house.
Mostly, no, I was just thinking. I was like, anyway. Is there one that I'm like, yeah, that's the kind for me?
What, time travel or?
Well, you're, yeah, just what you were saying.
Murder, aren't you a murder? People getting murdered?
No, by not murdered.
Killers, and you're like,
I do watch those series and documentaries and things, but you know what I think it is? It's solving the mystery, like a psychological mystery. Yeah, those are so interesting to me.
Hmm.
I like I find those movies very interesting.
In series.
And series, yep. Yeah.
Like a Silence of the Lambs?
No. Kind of. Well, but then again, like Silence of the Lambs, I watched it when I was really young. So if I saw it now, I would have a different reaction to it. Like, I saw it when I was, I think, in elementary school. I had no business watching it. I was so scared. Like, I was sharing a room with my sister at the time. And I was just like, I remember I couldn't fall asleep because I was so like, I was so scared that I would like insisted on pushing our twin, like I pushed my twin bed all the way to the other side of the room.
What
and
are you
I could
watching
only
film in elementary school for that's a little young.
You know, we watched a lot of scary movies when I was
like
young
in the theater?
And no, at home.
Oh, wow.
I think it's because I'm the youngest and everybody else wanted to watch it. And so it's like, well, like, you can either stay in your room, stay in your room, which is next to the living room. So hearing it, I would just imagine it to be even more scary, or sit out there with the family and watch it. But like, no, too many freaking scary, like Pet Sematary, The Shining, like blah, blah. I mean, that's part of why I think I hate horror movies so much. Freaking Freddy Krueger, Jason, like all this horrible,
wait,
horrible
how many
movies.
Of there are you? I mean, your family. Was that just,
I have like
sister,
two older sisters.
Oh, you have two. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, and, man,
like, you know, but I think my mom, it's kind of funny, actually. I should talk to my mom about this because I think my mom liked watching some of those movies too, because my mom likes to watch stuff like movies and like new stuff, so that she's like, oh, okay, how do you get out of that situation? You always are prepared. You're always prepared. Like,
that's
seriously,
hilarious.
Seriously.
What happens if someone wants to take my skin? I need this. I need a
skin. No, it's so scary.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. But any, yeah. Yeah. So
it's hilariosity.
It's it, yeah. So I don't really care for watching horror movies, but I still like the psychological mystery. Solve that murder.
That's movies. Funny. That yeah. is, that's very funny.
Cause like they're not really about the gore. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's like, yeah, you see the crime scene photos, but it doesn't like focus on
you
it.
You need to suggest a psychological thriller to me.
To watch?
Yeah. Like a new one. And when a new one comes out.
Oh, a new one.
Well, yeah. Like I've seen the old one. Like
you've seen like Fracture. That one's a little bit older, yes. But I remember I really liked it.
Like it's not, it's a genre that I do like it.
Shutter Island. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that.
I know that's older too. I feel like I could rewatch it. It's been a while.
It's just, it's not, it's not a genre I'll jump to because I have to watch it alone. So I have to wait for it at night. I mean, I have to watch most things alone, but.
And so, then you got to watch something like funny afterwards so you don't have nightmares. Well,
whatever.
You're
I just,
a man.
I just go to sleep now.
I watch like a little Brooklyn Nine-Nine afterwards. Or, I'm
done. I mean, sometimes I'll watch. I do have to, after Walking Dead, man. I do have to.
But also actually. Like, I know, not to cut you off, but it's like, I almost like. Who's listening here that can cast me as a detective in one of these things? Because that's the other thing that's funny. Like
is that
I watched.
Dream?
Well, it's one of them. Like I should be playing a doctor and a detective, and a lawyer or something like at some point. At
a
some
doctor
point,
doctor detective.
Yeah, you know.
Andy but Griffith.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't even hear what you said. I just said
Andy
yes.
Griffith. Didn't he do the doctor detective?
I don't know.
What? Yeah. Give me a film. Next time you see one, say like, "Hey, Silas, check this out." Like I watched that series. You. That's a psychological thriller, right?
Right. It's a romantic psychological
it's not
thriller.
A romantic. I wouldn't call it romantic. You? Romantic.
You is still in the rom. Yeah. There's. It's a romance psychological thriller.
Do we still call it romance?
For sure. The whole thing is about like love and finding love and then being totally effed up in the process of it. You.
But he's a serial killer.
Yeah, but it's always about he's always trying to find like the perfect person and people are falling in love with him and there's romance and then it gets like crazy.
I don't think we put the word romance in it.
Well, yeah, because it's not just like. Okay, listeners, hey, you guys, this would be actually really awesome. Can you please, 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 I know I said please a lot, comment this time and let us know, do you agree with Silas that it should not be called a romantic psychological thriller?
I don't think that's a genre that you can have.
I just made it up then. That's fine. I'm just saying that it's in that vein.
You know, honestly,
it's like a hybrid.
I seriously, it's like a rare.
Because it's not like Dexter. Like, I mean,
I rarely find anybody that's watched you, honestly. I think it's a hard. Yeah, I've seen a couple like someone will post about like, what? Oh, you saw it? Like, it's like a secret club.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's really good. If you haven't checked it out,
you know,
Netflix
it's actually
series.
Horrible, though, how some of these things that are really good are so disturbing. Like I was just telling you guys about the show, The Sinner, that I think it's. Is it a USA limited series? I don't know. It's on Netflix. It has three seasons out, but I just found out about it like this weekend. And Jessica Biel on season one, it's Jessica Biel starring in it with Bill Pullman as the detective. And so I binged that and then I started season two.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was so freaking good because it keeps you guessing. Like,
yeah.
Like initially I'm like, oh yeah, I solved the case. What's their problem? Why can't they figure this out? And then it starts like it starts going in these other directions that you just it's like, what?
What?
But then there were a few things that happened that literally were just like, oh, yuck.
It's awesome.
Yes, right. You should check it out. Yeah. You could check out that series, Silas. Just be prepared that there's some of it.
Movie.
That's so a movie. I don't watch that many movies now a days. Okay. Hey listeners, you can also let us know suggest some of those for us to watch, please.
Yeah.
Please.
Please, please.
Please, please.
Please do it.
I love the comments. I know I'm on a tangent now, but I do love comments. But like back in the day when I was working at like this, well, the one restaurant in particular, I remember this guest. I don't remember what he looked like, but him and his wife were there. They were wonderful. Well, they were doing this thing. It was actually cool because they were doing this thing at the place where like if you got mentioned in a review, you would get like an extra $20 on your paycheck.
What?
Which was amazing. And I couldn't tell the guests like, hey, do this for me. I'll get extra $20. But you let them know, leave a review, mention if you think I did a good job, blah, blah, blah.
I'm Samantha. Mention.
Right.
I'm Samantha. If you did a good job, be sure to say so.
Right. Well, one of the guests though, like we're having this great conversation and he was talking about, we were talking about movies and stuff. And then I said, well, if you liked that, I think you'll like this. And then I said, oh, I wish I could see you guys after you watch it, but safe travels. If you get a chance to watch it, please leave a comment, put my name in it, put my name in it so that I see it and let me know what you thought about the movie. But like, I really wanted to know. We were having a great conversation.
Wait, so you were allowed to say, put my name in it.
Oh yeah. You could say that. You could say like, you know, if you
couldn't tell them it's because you'll get $20.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And so, incidentally, it turns out like I think there was like one server who was getting like more reviews than me. He freaking cheated and got busted later. He was like going in, making these different accounts and having his friends do it and this and that. Awesome. Boy, he was such a freaking ass. Like, I'm not even mincing words about how I felt about him. He was like, he was such a jerk to me and I was nothing but nice to him.
Review fraud.
Man. And then after he left the restaurant and he'd come back, I saw him and I didn't acknowledge his presence, which, you know, for me is really hard.
Yeah.
It was very difficult to not be. I was like, I wasn't going to be mean, but I wasn't going to go out of my way to be nice to somebody who'd been such a douche so many times. Anyhow, but those guests that I was mentioning, and the good part, they did. They left a comment with my name, let me know what they thought about the movie, and it made my day. Because it was just awesome. It was like they had such a great time. They remembered and they actually watched it.
Made her day.
Yeah.
Make Samantha's day.
Right.
Leave a review today.
Yeah, let us know who you agree with about the scenario. Name
today.
And what we should watch.
Yeah.
And if you agree with me or Silas on Malcolm and Marie.
If you don't have something nice to say.
Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive. Live long and prosper.